Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. When you see the term a la carte on a menu at, say, a steakhouse, you know you're going to be dropping a few C-notes. It's the price you pay for luxury, which all too often means you'll get a little bowl of mashed potatoes with your prime cut of meat. In the world of insuring cannabis, where an a la carte menu is pretty much the only order of the day, luxury's got nothing to do with it. Forget the potatoes, and that slice of meat, well, that may not be all it's cut out to be. Phil Skaggs, Assistant Counsel for the American Association of Insurance Services, explains.
A la carte policies can have one or two meanings depending on what you're talking about. The first meaning, I think, is more appropriate for really the health insurance market, refers to kind of customizing policies to the specific needs of the insured. The second approach, which I think applies here, is kind of shopping around for coverage for the same exposure or for coverages for different risks. An example might be, you know, you buy your liability insurance from carrier A, then you buy your cyber liability from carrier B, and maybe you buy a supplement product liability coverage from carrier C. That's kind of, I think, in the cannabis concept, that's a very common practice, specifically because there's really a limited number of carriers participating in this space. And they don't all offer a full suite of coverage for one, and two, they can charge very drastically different rates for the same coverage. So you might splurge on, you know, for example, your product liability coverage, spend a little extra to get it from carrier A, but then, you know, when it comes to cyber liability or commercial auto or something like that, you might actually go to a different carrier, pay a little bit less for a lower limit, and then kind of hope that it all kind of cobbles together into a comprehensive package.
Mark Strauss is a retail agent focused on cannabis. He's with Leonard Adams Insurance, an independent agency in Portland, Oregon. If cannabis companies are the patrons at our increasingly hypothetical steakhouse, Strauss is the maitre d' who has to help them order and break the bad news about the menu.
With regards to insurance for cannabis businesses, it requires you to literally go through a process of more specific pointed questions of addressing risk for, you know, for the business. Because one thing I impart to clients and prospects is you can never assume that something's going to be in there and that it's going to be covered. And so essentially, it requires you, from an a la carte standpoint, the way that I approach it is essentially, you know, you're looking at it from the standpoint of everything from, do you want to have coverage for trip and fall accidents on your premise? Do you want to have coverage in case someone brings a lawsuit against you as a result of getting sick from consumption of a product or getting injured from use of a product? Do you want to have coverage in place for, you know, if a business is doing delivery? Do you want to have coverage in place for, you know, in case an employee's using their personal vehicle and they get involved in an accident and the business is named in a lawsuit? You know, all the way down from property coverages to, do you want coverage for your fixtures and alterations? Do you, you know, or improvements and betterments? Your stock and inventory. So nothing is provided to you. You literally are starting with the reason I use the term a la carte, because it's basically a menu. You have to go through the process of identifying all these risks and addressing with either the clients at renewal or the prospect at the time of inquiry about insurance of, okay, like, this is not a one and done, you know, Geico, 15 minutes or less, I'm going to get you a quote. It doesn't work like that. Or at least for me, it doesn't work like that. There might be others that are able to, you know, kind of go through an evaluation of someone's risk more quickly. But at the end of the day, for me, my focus is to be thorough and eliminate the surprises.
The problem isn't only one of explaining things to insurance buyers. Because insurance for cannabis companies is pricey, as well as complex, as we've already established, many of these people revert to what we all know is just part of human nature, going the easiest, or in this case, the most affordable, route.
Because insurance is so pricey in the cannabis space, and because there's a limited number of actual programs being offered, and because the investment in cannabis businesses is also what it is, on the more difficult to obtain end of things, you have cannabis operators looking at what they're required to do from a licensing perspective and not what they need from an insurance perspective. So they'll go and they'll purchase their liability and their product liability insurance just up to the minimum they need for regulatory requirements in order to get their license and keep their license. But because of the price of that insurance, they're saying, you know, that's all I'm going to do. I'm either going to self-insure or I'm going to set aside some cash for a rainy day. But that often ends up being way under what they would need if they actually took the approach of insuring up to their required limits from a risk management perspective. So this affects consumers. It first affects the carrier because they can't cover, they can't actually purchase what they need, or they can purchase only what they can afford. Then they get sued for, let's say, product liability because of a defective product. Well, the insurance then that's available for that loss is capped at $1 or $2 million, which maybe, if it's a class action, for example, maybe a $20 million, $30 million, $50 million kind of case, which then effectively can not only put the cannabis operator out of business, but also leave consumers kind of in the cold when it comes to recouping from a legitimate loss.
As a result of all of this, Skaggs said businesses are quote-unquote predominantly going underinsured, meaning they just aren't procuring the proper amount or even the right types of insurance that they need to operate in a responsible way. Strauss has an example of what can happen when a business goes a bit thin on insurance.
I'm working with a prospect right now, and they had a loss to a greenhouse 2 years ago due to, you know, weight of ice, sleet, and snow. And so the carrier that they were with, they came out, they adjusted the loss, and they only had it insured for, I don't know, I think it was like maybe $22,000 or $23,000. And the adjuster identified, well, you know, it's actually $34,000. So then, you know, they're dealing with a business income, you know, penalty. So they're not being made whole again. And so the challenge that exists is that, again, it comes down to education for the insurance buyer to recognize and understand that, like, ballparking limits only gets you so far. Like, it will get you covered, but it might not get you whole again. And I think that is the struggle that I think is that I deal with in trying to get clients to understand that they need to get within, you know, whatever the co-insurance limit is of the policy, whether that be 80% or 90%. I mean, my goal is always 100%. I never want to, you know, kind of work within that buffer. But for those that are business owners to recognize and understand the importance of getting in line with those limits, because sadly, you know, no one ever thinks a loss is going to happen to them, but when the loss does happen and they recognize that they're underinsured, they recognize, like, oh, I probably should have gone back to that and taken a little bit more time looking at my, you know, asset inventory and totaling it all up and recognizing truly, you know, what do I have.
What's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention? One firm recently launched a new coverage aimed at tackling this a la carte issue for cannabis insurance buyers. SafeHerb, a division of Specialty Program Group, a big holding company headquartered in New Jersey, introduced a seed-to-sale coverage for the cannabis and hemp industries in February. It includes general liability, product liability, property equipment breakdown, indoor crop loss or damage, cargo. Well, let's let Kramer Hendricks, director of SafeHerb, take it from there.
SafeHerb is an MGU in the cannabis industry with the sole focus on servicing cannabis and hemp businesses across the country. We're in all 50 states, and we're focusing on the property and casualty package for plant-touching operators. So what I mean by that is you've heard the common moniker seed-to-sale. So cultivators all the way down to the dispensary and the classifications in between, like manufacturers, processors, wholesalers, and distributors. We offer a insurance package solution for those operators in the industry.
The goal of the coverage, in a word, is to make things seamless.
So what we're trying to do is combine the liability and the property and the cargo as much as we can with our insurance company onto one policy, especially if they're multi-state operators. So when you run into in this industry is you'll have separate policies in each state. A lot of times you'll have 4 to 5 separate property policies. You'll have a different policy for liability. You'll have a different policy for the product liability. And it's a burden to the insured. And so with our program, you can combine all of those onto one insurance policy that's seamless. And in addition to that, you at the end of the policy term, or let me be more specific, Dawn, when you get to a claim scenario, we are taking that a step further in expanding the customer service aspect because we are handling the claims through Avant Specialty Claims, which is a claims unit within our company.
I love analogies. They drive home points and make explaining things much easier, if not funnier. So I hit up Skaggs, prompting him for a little perspective on the whole a la carte steakhouse analogy.
I like the steakhouse analogy. Basically, it's like, everyone's going to Outback Steakhouse. For some reason, when most people go there, they can get, a steak for, $20? But then for some reason, when a cannabis operator goes there, it's not that they're going to a better steakhouse and getting better cuts of meat. They're actually getting, lesser quality in a lot of cases. They're getting, when they order the T-bone, they're instead getting a flank steak, something that doesn't even match up. It just can be called steak. They're being charged outrageous prices for it. So, instead of paying that $20, they're paying $75, $100 for that same steak, not even the same cut of meat, but that same type of meat.
Well, there you have it. Before we go, I'd like to let you know about our upcoming Insuring Cannabis webinar on April 14th, titled How Insurance is Keeping Up with the Bustling Cannabis Sector, when we'll be talking with Skaggs from this podcast, as well as CanGen's Charles Pyfrom and Lockton's Alan Devey about subjects like insuring public cannabis companies, M&As, new products, and other matters. You can register by visiting the Research and Trends page on insurancejournal.com, or you can find a link to register below this podcast in the summary on insurancejournal.tv. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.